Join in reading responsibly the hymns, the scripture selection on world missions, selection numbered 81. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. We're indeed fortunate today to have as our guest preacher on this missionary day, Dr. Nathan C. Brooks, Jr. Dr. Brooks is a native North Carolinian and is a graduate of two of our fine Baptist colleges, Mars Hill College and Wake Forest College, of our seminary in Louisville, and has done graduate study at various schools in the United States. He has a lifelong record of ministry in the churches in North Carolina, in Kentucky, and Louisiana, and other places, and was also president of the Carver School of Missions and Social Work in Louisville, Kentucky, from 1958 to 1963. Since October 1, 1966, he has been director of the Division of Church Programs for the North Carolina Baptist State Convention. He is a very generous a man to come to us on this occasion, and we are not only delighted at his presence, but wait with prayer and hope for his message, and we'll hear him following our prayer. Shall we pray together? Our most loving Heavenly Father, whose grace is so abundant that we cannot begin to comprehend it, and yet in whose tender mercy every little thing even of our lives is given. Thou who art the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of the universe, Thou God of all the ages, whose presence is real and personal to everyone who seeks Thee. We entreat Thy Spirit's presence today in this time of our worship, that by creative and redemptive worship together, we may be fitted for the opportunities and responsibilities which have been given to us today. We thank Thee for this time apart from the routine of our daily schedule for worship, and especially on this missionary day for the opportunity to turn our attention especially to our missionary obligations and opportunities. We pray for our speaker who has come graciously to speak to us today. We ask that Thy Holy Spirit may guide him and strengthen him for this undertaking, guide his thoughts and his words, guide our hearts to listen, and grant our Father to use this time of worship together as we come here together for worship as brothers and sisters in Christ, to enlarge our understanding, to fit us for ministry in all of its various meanings, and equip us through this worship service today for ministry in our own time and place. And teach us the meaning of commitment today. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Brooks.
Unless you have a place in your experience for the personal and the obvious, these next few minutes are going to be very miserable for you. For by deliberate choice, I am turning to the personal and the obvious in our missionary message today. I'm calling what we're thinking about finding my role in missions. And because I have worded the topic thus, you will see that I will be speaking very personally. finding my role in mission. The social sciences in recent years have given much attention to the significance of role, R-O-L-E. Long before many of the findings of modern science, William Shakespeare was dealing somewhat with the same matter of our role in life. He pointed out that all the world's a stage, that each one of us is a player, that we play many parts. He talked about the puking infant. He talked about the young schoolboy. He talked about the lover. He went on beyond that to talk about many other roles that an individual plays in life. The only thing about this particular word from Shakespeare is it is only a part of the truth. For you see, Shakespeare was emphasizing in this particular passage the successive roles that we play in life. But life calls upon us not only to play successive roles, it calls upon us to play simultaneous roles. And I have a feeling that it is at this point that many a Baptist fails to understand his missionary role. Somehow or another, he sees his role here, there, yonder, and in the process of relating roles and fulfilling roles, the missionary role gets left out. I suppose the period in my life in which I found fulfilling my roles most difficult came about 3 years ago. My mother had passed away. My father, an invalid, came to live with us in Louisville, Kentucky. His coming was at a time when I was a pastor of a local congregation. This meant I had the responsibility of fulfilling the role of a minister. There were funerals, there were weddings. There was counseling to do, and I found that my father couldn't understand this role. Why do you have so many funerals? Why do you have to be away for so many conferences and meetings? He couldn't understand why I was not available at his beck and call, as he, an invalid, was confined to the bed and to the sick room. But I discovered that my multiple roles were indeed difficult to fulfill because of the circumstances. At that particular time, my wife, having come to the age of 53, was engaged in studying at the graduate school at the University of Louisville, pursuing a social work degree. This meant she wasn't fulfilling in the same way her role as mother and wife. This threw some added responsibilities upon all of us in the family. I happened at that particular time to have two boys who were busy playing football as teenagers. They couldn't imagine a football game without at least some member of the family present, preferably their father. This was very demanding under the circumstances. I found that I had a role continuing as a preacher. The hours of preparation were necessary if one was to stand in the pulpit, were hours that it was hard to find under the circumstances. And so, with a series of days, of insulin shots and bedpans and attention to an invalid, I found myself trying to fill the roles that life was demanding of me. And one of the things that came into focus for me in that particular experience was a new understanding of who the mature individual is. Because I think I came to see for the first time in life that the mature individual is one who somehow knows how to fulfill his various roles simultaneously. I didn't use the word perfectly, you'll notice. Deliberately, I haven't used that word. But somehow, we must learn to fulfill our role simultaneously. And so it is that the business of finding one's role in mission becomes a part of finding one's role in life. If one is to perform as a mature Christian, then he must perform in the area of being missionary as well as in all the other roles that are his as a Christian. For I'm hastening to point out to you what is all too obvious to you, that the call to the role of missionary is the call that comes to every one of us who follows Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I did not say that he calls all of us to go to the foreign mission field, or that he calls all of us to be supported by the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. But coming to the Scripture and finding what the scriptural picture is of God's relationship to his children, I am convinced, as you must be, that each of us is called to fill the role of a missionary as a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, God has been laying his hands upon sent ones all through the years. There was an Abraham sent into a new country that he might become the father of a nation and fulfill the will of God. There was a Joseph who was sent to be the savior of a nation down in the land of Egypt. There was a Moses who was called to be the lawgiver to a nation. And over again, all through the scriptures, God is found laying his hand upon men saying, I'm sending you to a task that is God-given. You're to fulfill this task to the glory of God. And so it is that he calls every one of us to be missionary. For we have been called to be like him, and he is missionary. The passages of scripture which we've read together this morning bring us face to face with the New Testament demands upon us as missionaries. As we go, we're to witness. We find ourselves ambassadors for Christ, making the appeal that God wants to make through us because he has laid his hands upon us. This was the personal testimony of Paul in the verse that follows the passage of Scripture which we close in our reading this morning. I suppose that I became somewhat conscious of my call to be a missionary follower of Jesus for the first time when I was 12 years of age. On my birthday, my parents gave to me a copy of A Simple Life of David Livingstone. One written for boys or for young people. And I can remember how deeply I was impressed by that particular book. I even now can remember my reactions and know that I felt that I must be a missionary. And at that particular point, it seemed obvious to me that I must be a missionary in Africa. The influence of David Livingstone's life seemed to make it clear, there is the place, and God is calling, and you must answer. Over the years, in the providence of God, I have not been a missionary in Africa. I have a sister who has been there, as Dr. Patterson, others who are here, but my role has not been in Africa. Yet I was not mistaken when I was 12 years of age in believing that God was calling upon me to be a missionary. The only thing I wasn't clear about at that particular time was where, in my particular case, he was calling upon me to be a missionary. And so I come to face with you this problem of finding one's role in missions. And I talk with you about it by pointing out some of the things that I analyze now as I look back and discover how I have found my particular role in the area of missions. For you see, it's one thing for God to call you to be missionary, and it's another thing for you to discover the particular role that you're to fulfill as a missionary. The Apostle Paul had some problems like this, if you remember. I think there's no doubt but what, after the Damascus Road experience, he knew what his task was to be. When he stood before Agrippa, as we find the account recorded in the book of Acts, Paul bore testimony to Agrippa as to what happened to him after that Damascus Road experience. And he said then that it was clear after that Damascus Road experience that he was to be a missionary to the Gentiles, a proclaimer to those who were Gentiles. And yet it is very obvious from reading other portions of Scripture that even though Paul was clear about this, there were some other details about his role as a missionary that were not in focus at that time. You will remember how with Timothy he was traveling on a missionary journey. As they traveled along, they found themselves going through Phrygia and Galatia. You recall how at that particular time, Paul was convinced that he was forbidden to go into Asia. That door was closed because God was making it clear, the role that I have for you, even though I've called you to be a missionary, is not to be a missionary in that particular place. And so it was that he went to Mysia and then attempted to go into Bithynia and found that door closed and finally came down to Troas and onto the continent of Europe and was about the missionary task as he understood the role that God had called him to fulfill. I've seen young people who, as the pastor's given a public invitation for commitment openly to the will of God, come forward and they would say to the preacher, I don't know what it is God is calling me to, and I don't know the particular area of service he has for me, but I know this, he is calling and I'm answering and I believe he has an area of service. And so it is that knowing that we have been called to be missionary is not the same thing as knowing the particular role we're to play in the field of missions to which God has called us. I'm thinking now about Miss Virginia Myers, who grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina. We were members of the same church, the Tabernacle Baptist Church, back in the 30s, though I did not know her at that time. In later years, while I was a minister in South Carolina, the Earl Street Baptist Church, in correspondence with the Foreign Mission Board, asked for the assignment of a missionary that it might support over and above its regular cooperative program contribution. And the name of Virginia Myers came through to us, and I was interested in the fact that she had been at Tabernacle and I had been at Tabernacle, and so there was a warmth already in the relationship. I can remember the first visit that Virginia Myers made to Greenville, South Carolina, to visit the Earl Street Baptist Church. She was clearly convinced that God was calling her to missions in China. But this was at the very time that the doors in China were being closed. And yet she was convinced that God was speaking to her about serving as a missionary in China. In the providence of God, she served in the Philippines. In the providence of God, other doors have opened to her since then, working particularly with Chinese people. And she was not wrong about feeling that somehow her interest in Chinese people was one that was connected with her call. But it became very clear to her after a while that under the circumstances existing, her missionary role could not and would not be in China. I found myself somewhat embarrassed this morning, and Dr. Scoggins came to my rescue. I told him that I'd been trying to think of the name of a friend of mine. You know, when you get to a certain age, sometimes there are problems. You'll find it out after a while. And for some reason, I could not think of the name of Laval Seats this morning. But when I described to him the person, he said, well, Laval Seats. And I said, well, I don't know why I couldn't think of his name, but that's who I'm talking about. And I was thinking about Laval Seats in connection with this message this morning because I believe Laval Seats to be filling God's call to him to be a missionary. Oh, I know there was a time when under the leadership of God, he was filling a role across the waters in another place. But in the providence of God, circumstances in family life being what they have been, he has not been able to continue that role on the foreign field. But I do not believe Laval Seats to be any less a missionary as a professor at Southwestern Seminary than he was when he was serving on the continent of Africa. And I do not believe Dr. Patterson, who is here with us today, is any less a missionary in the role that he's filling here today than he was when he was in Nigeria. He has been called to be a missionary. He has been busy about the task in Nigeria. He is busy about the task here now. And that leads me to the first thing I want you to nail down that has helped me in discovering my role in missions. And that is that one must be missionary right where he is. That's the very obvious thing, but the very necessary thing if one is to find his role in missions. I was interested in a story carried in the National Observer some days ago about Charles Evers of Mississippi, who is very much in the limelight today because of his relationship to NAACP and because he is calling for Mississippi Negroes to respond in the light of the death that took place night before last in Mississippi. In commenting about the role that Charles Evers is playing in Mississippi, the National Observer pointed up the fact that he wasn't running off to Chicago or Los Angeles or some other place like many other people feel called to do, but that he had chosen the Delta section of Mississippi, and that he had conceived his role to be to stop right there and give himself and do what he could for his people right there. And then the National Observer further quoted Charles Evers as saying that there was an old Negro philosopher who once said, "Let your bucket down where you are." And this is what Evers has found to be his task, to let his bucket down where he is. The trouble with too many of us is we have the feeling I could be missionary if I were in Louisiana or California. I could be missionary if I were where the fields are greener. I could be missionary if the doors were just open for me to be in Nigeria or in Indonesia. But I can't be missionary here. That just doesn't fit in. That isn't the place for me. Somehow or another, this business of thinking that one can become missionary after he's finished the seminary or after he's finished college doesn't line up with the picture that I find in the New Testament, and it particularly doesn't line up with the picture that I find in my own experience. I have a sister who has gone to Nigeria. She's a missionary. I'm here. I believe that God has called me to be a missionary. If I'm to be a missionary here, what must I do? If she's to be a missionary there, what must she do and be? And one of the very simple things that has helped me to find my role has been to understand that I have the opportunity of doing right here what God has called upon a missionary to do. She has an opportunity to do there what God has called upon a missionary to do. But both of us have been called upon to be missionaries where we are. Let us move then to a second thing that I have found helpful in discovering my role in missions. It again is a very obvious thing, and yet a very necessary thing if one is to be missionary where he is. One must somehow learn to utilize the tools that he has, or that by God's grace he may acquire. Oh yes, I know this is very obvious, but it's very necessary to understand if you're going to be a missionary. You know what my sister's doing out in Nigeria, if I understand what she's doing? She's teaching. She had done that here in the States before she ever went to Nigeria. She's serving as a nurse. She had done that here in the States before she ever went out to Nigeria. But out there, by the grace of God, she's using the tools and the equipment that she has to the glory of God as a missionary. I think about my friend Joe Poe, who's living out in San Antonio. Joe Poe, called of God to be a missionary. One who has served God overseas as a missionary. But in the providence of God, Joe Poe has come to the task of being a translator and a worker at the publication house in San Antonio. One who is skilled with the languages that he's called upon to use. And he's digging down, and in San Antonio, he's being a world missionary to the glory of God using the tools which he has. I couldn't help but think as I was preparing the message for this hour about Bob Bratcher. Many of you know Bob. Bob served Southern Baptists in Brazil for a while as an overseas missionary. I shall not go into all the details of Bob's coming back to the States except to say some had some question marks about Bob's ministry as a missionary in Brazil. But let me hasten to add that when I pick up the American Bible Society edition of the New Testament that has really come out in such popular form, and if you're not acquainted with it, you need to become acquainted with it, and when I discover that Bob Bratcher has been a leader in preparing this particular translation of the New Testament, I'm conscious of the fact that Bob Bratcher here in the United States, using the tools which he has, is being a missionary to the ends of the earth to the glory of God, as God is using him and the tools which he has as a missionary. Several years ago, a member of a congregation which I served in Florida found an opening for service as a school teacher in Japan. She applied, she was approved, she went. But the interesting thing about her service in Japan has been that she has done far more than teach school in the ordinary sense of the term. I have had correspondence from missionaries out there who have shared with me something of their reaction to what she has meant as a school teacher, as she has worked shoulder to shoulder beside those who have been appointed by our own foreign mission board. She has never stood in an appointment service. She never will. There are some circumstances in her life which probably will preclude this ever happening. Several circumstances now, in fact, the age factor, one of them. But because of a broken home and because of a divorce situation, Southern Baptists would never have put her out there as an overseas missionary. But she has been an effective tool of the Lord as a school teacher in Japan, because where she was, with the tools she had, she answered God's calling to be a missionary. You see, it's a very obvious thing, but it's a very necessary thing for us to understand that God expects us to use what we have, where we are, if we're to be missionary. I was interested the other day in discovering that one who has been under appointment in other years by our foreign mission board and who no longer is an overseas missionary employed by our foreign mission board is going to Vietnam. He is going there with the aid program. I do not know him intimately. So far as I know, there has been no turning his back upon the commitment that God called him to when he called him to overseas service. But in the providence of God, he has come to feel that the particular role he can best play, because he has a background in agriculture, he has degrees in agriculture, is to go to Vietnam, where our government is trying to make some impact upon the people in the area of agriculture. The tool one has or can acquire where one is helps one to be an effective missionary. This leads us to a third thing, which I only take a moment with because I think your own imagination will lead you on in this area. It is my own conviction, out of my own experience, that one must not be afraid to be experimental in this business of being a missionary. Just a few days ago, a pastor came to talk with me. He wanted some reassurance. I don't know whether I helped him very much, because his problem isn't solved, but at least he went away saying, "I feel much better because we've had this conversation." He felt in a bind because some leaders in his church had said to him, "Now, if you do that, you'll not be fitting into our Southern Baptist pattern and picture." And when he talked with me about the thing that was giving some members of his congregation concern, I said, "Well, I wouldn't want to antagonize people. I would want to reach, if I could be used of God for that, all of the people of the congregation I'm serving. But you're not going to reach some of the people you're trying to reach unless you use some unusual methods." For he had described to me the kind of people he was trying to reach and the kind of people he had reached by using some methods that others were calling into question. I shall not describe the details of that situation. It's not necessary for me to say what I want to say. One must not be afraid to be experimental, to let God use you into different patterns and channels in trying to find your own role as a missionary. I can remember being a pastor in Western North Carolina. There had been no vacation Bible schools in the whole association where I was serving as pastor, except in the church where I was pastor. I remember trying to help extend the vacation Bible school ministry to some of the other churches. One of the churches responded through its members by saying, well, we'd like to have this Bible school thing you're talking about. We don't know much about it. But we can't come, and our children can't come except at night. Well, I'd never heard of a night vacation Bible school. Nobody had ever suggested to me that you could have a vacation Bible school any time but in the morning. But I saw if we were going to do anything in that particular church, we'd have a night vacation Bible school. And we did. And the boys came and the girls came. And more than that, the adults came. And we had the adults in the vacation Bible school. Now, if somebody had said, you've got to have it a certain way, I never would have had that vacation Bible school. This is but a simple illustration of the kind of thing I'm trying to say. We must not be afraid in finding our role in missions to experiment under the leadership of the Holy Spirit with new patterns and new methods and new ways of making an approach to the needs of people to the glory of God. If it's a coffee house ministry that will best meet the need of the people you're trying to reach, then have a coffee house ministry. If it's a storefront ministry in the same block in which your church building is located, then have a storefront ministry in the same block in which your church is located. There are some people you may never reach in that church of which you're pastor in the county seat town if they have to come inside the doors of that church. But it may be they can be reached to the glory of God in a storehouse ministry on the same street where the church building is. Why stand back and hold back? Simply because somehow you've had a particular pattern in mind for your ministry in the community where you're serving. The interesting thing is, when the Holy Spirit leads, there are many new and strange things that can take place in finding and fulfilling your role in ministry and missions. I haven't forgotten, have you, that in one community where the Apostle Paul found himself, he found it necessary to be about the task of being a tent maker. Now, if he had told the church back in Jerusalem, I'm going off yonder and I'm going to be a tent maker in that particular city, there may have been some who might have said, well, now you ought to preach over there. That's your task. But Paul found the channel of tent making an open door to becoming a more effective missionary minister of God in the place where he found himself under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to experiment as God leads you in new areas and with new methods as you go about the missionary task. I'm sure there are many other things I could say to you about finding my own role in missions, but there's just one other thing I want to say at this particular time. And that is, I've learned if I'm going to fulfill my role, I'm going to have to leave results to God. I suppose one of the biggest problems that Southern Baptists have faced is the problem of leaving results to God. Somehow we've had the feeling if we push so many buttons and do so many things and have so many meetings and go in such and such a whirl, we'll just automatically have results out there. But you know, somehow we've come to a time when we've pushed the same buttons we used to push and we've gone to the same committee meetings we used to go to, but we're not having the same visible results we used to have. And many of us as Southern Baptists are finding ourselves perplexed. We are wondering what's wrong with God. Has he forgotten how to honor our button pushing? Has he forgotten how to do the particular thing we've told him he ought to do? Or maybe if we're still, we may hear him say, you just fill your role and let me fill mine. Leave the results to me. You see, even the Apostle Paul, with all of his zeal and earnestness in reaching out for his Jewish brethren, found that his Jewish brethren just weren't flocking to his preaching and they just weren't yielding to his missionary message. Oh, he had some Jewish converts, thank God, and this encouraged him. But he could cry out, I could wish myself accursed, anathema, if somehow my Jewish brethren might find the Lord. Yet in the providence of God, the great harvest that Paul was able to chalk up on his side of the effort was a harvest in which God used him largely to reach Gentiles. And it's a hard thing for a man to learn sometimes, but he has to learn it if he's going to fulfill the role of missionary, that in the end, you have to leave the results to God. We glorify Carey and Morrison, and rightly so, for their great missionary labors. But Southern Baptists, with their emphasis upon numbers, and I don't decry numbers in their place, could not hold Carey and Morrison in very high esteem if they did it only on the basis of number. For here are men who labored without seeing some of the visible results they yearned for. But apparently they learned to labor and leave the results to God. I do not know that sharing my own heart searching about this business of being a missionary has helped you. But I tried to say to you that I've learned that I have to be missionary where I am. And I have to use the tools that I have or can acquire. And that I mustn't be afraid to experiment, but in the end, I must leave the results to God. And somehow, out of all of this, there has come to me a philosophy that at least is satisfactory for me. There's nothing original about it. But I've adapted it from others to my own needs, and I've expressed it in this way. That under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I must do the best I can where I am with what I have today for Jesus' sake and leave the results to Him. And as far as I'm concerned, I do not know any other way to fulfill my role as a missionary except to live by such a philosophy. And the interesting thing is, as I look back in my own heritage, I discover that one of the greatest missionary spirits I ever knew lived by that philosophy without ever voicing it. For Paddy Cahoon never saw a Nigerian, or never saw a Japanese, or never saw a Malaysian, or never saw a Chinese. She grew up in eastern North Carolina. She lived in a limited sphere. She didn't see these folks at all physically because she was blind. And yet, down in her heart, she believed that God had called her to the task of missions. And she had a yearning in her heart to go as a foreign missionary. But she had sense enough to know under the circumstances that she couldn't go as a foreign missionary. And yet, Patty Cahoon, my grandmother, made a contribution to the three daughters of her home. And that contribution has come on to me and to my sister who's in Nigeria and other members of the family. And I know that each of us has found our particular place in the task of missions, in part at least, because there was a grandmother who felt that God had called her to be a missionary, and who, because of blindness, could never go to the foreign field, but who did what she could, where she was, with what she had. And so far as I'm concerned, when I get to heaven, I expect to find her and Paul talking over this business of being missionaries. Let us pray. Lord, if thou art calling any of us to fill a role in some distant land, help us not to be negligent in understanding this, or callous in rejecting this, or sentimental in just somehow idealizing this, but help us to answer thy call and to fulfill the role to which thou hast called us. But Lord, if thou hast not called us to an overseas ministry, and that isn't the role in missions thou hast for us, help us to understand that we nevertheless have a role to fulfill. Thou art calling us to be missionary, even as we preach, even as we minister, even as we teach, even as we serve in the community as citizens. And Lord, grant that we may somehow learn to fill the role where we are with what we have to thy glory. And our prayer is in Jesus' name and for his sake.